But I just wanted to say good morning and welcome to our Advent service on Zoom. We're excited about Advent. It's not quite the same as meeting together, but just a reminder that Advent is a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the Nativity of Christ at Christmas. And of course, all the kids look forward to that. And also the return of Christ at the second coming. And I was thinking about a song that we used to sing at church when I was much younger, and it was called "Will You Be Ready When Jesus Comes Again?" And that's something that all of us should be pondering at this time of Advent. Of course, we recognize also that this is not exactly the kind of fellowship that Jesus had in mind when he said he would build his church, but we do the best we can. But I think more importantly, it is a time to turn and fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and to keep our attention fixed there. It is him that we worship. And so let me just open in prayer, and then we're going to share a song with you that Dave Fern has chosen. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that at this time of Advent, we can look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ at Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for the great gift of Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord, that you came down to us, that there's no way that we can scramble up to you, but you came down to us and you made a way for us to be made right with you, to be in fellowship with you. And so, Father, as we continue this morning, I pray that you'd be with each one of us. May your Holy Spirit just give us your peace. And Lord, as we focus on the topic of love this morning, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I'm going to screen share now, and I'm going to just share a song with you. This next part, I just want to welcome Warwick. He has been recently in Turkey, and he's back in Romania now. It is still Saturday night there, and it's probably coming up on midnight for him. So he's giving up some much needed beauty sleep. And So I'm going to ask Warwick if you could just unmute yourself, and if you could just share with us. Warwick's going to be doing the candle lighting.
Good morning to everybody. It's 11:10 here, so not quite midnight, Andrew, but we're working on it. As Andrew said, I've just come back from Turkey. We had the privilege of being in Antakya, or as most of us would know it, as Antioch, where Christians, first called Christians, even had the privilege of visiting St. Peter's Church, where they originally gathered together up there in the mountains. So that was pretty amazing just to be there, but also to be in what is now very much a Muslim country, a country that doesn't really acknowledge the Christian part of its heritage. We went through the archaeological museum and didn't really see much about that side of life. But in that time there, in the time that I've had around the place, one thing has been real. Didn't matter where we were, didn't matter what faith the people were. And that was when we expressed love, when we demonstrated love to them. It always, even when language didn't work, when we didn't cross the language barrier, when we expressed God's love, when we showed that love that we celebrate as we draw near to Christmas, that love that God gave to us so much that he gave his one and only son. When we expressed that love, that made a difference, regardless, as I say, of language, regardless of location. And when the opportunity came to share and I found out the service was about love, I just had that sense that wherever we are, even those of you back home, I know you guys have been stuck in lockdown for ages. It's weird that I've got more freedoms over here, even though we get more cases. But wherever we are, for us to express our love, for our love to shine, the Bible says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. And so I have my candle, and I'm going to light my candle, but hopefully you all got the message to also have your own candle. And I think we should light our candles together as a demonstration that when all of us shine our love, when we all express God's love, not just throughout the season of Advent, throughout Christmas, but wherever we are, let's all pledge together to express God's love. So wherever you are, let's light our candles. Father God, I want to thank you for the light that you shone into our lives of your love. That Father God, you took us out of darkness and brought us into light through the gift of your Son. And remind us wherever we are, whatever opportunity we are, even when we're limited by restrictions and regulations, Lord, to let your love shine. That people will see that love in us. They will see what's different about us because we have your love shining in us and shining out of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Same thing. Thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Thank you, Warwick. We really appreciate it. What I'd like to do now is to just take a minute or two to pray, and I want to give each one of you an opportunity to pray if you feel led to. Just remember, if you're going to pray, just unmute yourself, and then I will end in prayer.
Father, we come with thanksgiving and with joy into your courtroom this morning, into your earth, your throne room. Father God, we love you so much, and we're just so grateful that we get to spend this morning together as family, connecting with one another, and really spending some time understanding the depth of your love, Father, your relentless love. And Lord, we just pray together for blessings upon each and every family of First Church. Father, over all of the children and the youth, Lord, and over every single member and the eldership, and Father, over Andrew and Tanya, and we just thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity that we can meet together. Just praise you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for the ability to meet like this, Father God, and we do pray for people, other people in our fellowship who aren't joined in now, but they might join in later. Father God, we ask your blessing upon them and just enrich everyone's lives in you, and for those who've been walking through different things, health situations or other situations, Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to their bodies and peace to their souls. Lord, thank you.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for each person. We thank you for each family represented at First Church. We pray for those that are not with us this morning for whatever reason. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are lonely, Lord. We pray that you would draw near to them and that you would heal them. We pray too for Dave Fern, that he would have a speedy recovery and that now, Lord, you would draw close to them as a family. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you have laid on his heart for this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would go before us and to prepare the way as we continue in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so the ladies' dance group has been busy before the lockdown, but obviously during the lockdown, they've had to practice individually. So what the dance group decided to do is to do a dance each week for each week of Advent. And they're dancing individually. So this first one, was a dance that Tanya did. And, we decided to record it at the church, during the week, because we thought it would be nice for all of you just to see it in the church context. So it's quite nice to see the environment where we usually meet. So just be blessed by this and enjoy it.
If you're not done moving, then I'm not done waiting. If you're not done working, then I'm not done praising.
I'm going to ask Anna to unmute yourself and to share the reading with us. If you have your Bibles with you, we're reading from the book of John.
Thank you, Andrew. John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thank you, Anna. Going to go to the sermon part. Dave pre-recorded this because he is not able to share it with us in person this morning. So, let's hope I can get this one right.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the message part of our Zoom service this morning. I was really hoping to be with you live on Sunday morning to bring this message, but unfortunately I've got a toothache, and tomorrow, Saturday, I need to go and have my wisdom tooth taken out. So I don't think I'll be in much of a state on Sunday morning to be able to do this live, so I'm recording this message now. I just want to say thank you to a few people. Thank you to Warwick for doing the Advent Candle for Love. Thank you to Anna for doing the readings, and thank you to Andrew Woodbridge for putting this all together and hosting it. So let's pray now. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that as we remember this season of Advent, we're remembering you, Lord Jesus, coming into the earth, your coming, the first time. And also, Lord, we're looking forward to your second coming when you will return again. As we contemplate the idea of Advent love today, I pray, Lord, as always, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will open our hearts. You will speak to us, you will encourage us and help us to understand your word, Lord. Not my words, but your word. May your word and your truth settle in our hearts. And may we be amazed as we ponder afresh, Lord, the message of your love for us. So please lead us and guide us today and help us by your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I'll do this just as I would if I were with you. I'll get my screen ready to share. And I thought it would be great if we can have a nice picture of the church on the screen. Seems like a long time since we've been sitting here, but we will. We'll be there. We don't know exactly when yet, but there'll be the time will come when we will be able to meet again. Our beautiful building. All right. So let's think now about the message of love. And here's just some short verses to start us off with today from Psalm 92, 1 to 3. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. As you know, I've been looking at Psalms a lot this year, and the words love and faithfulness come up many, many times in the Psalms. Isn't this a good reminder for us to proclaim God's love in the morning when we wake up? Thank you, Lord, for your love. And to proclaim God's faithfulness at night. Thank you, Lord, in the evening that you've brought us through the day. Whether our day's been good or bad, thank you for your faithfulness that you are with us. Okay, so as you know already, the four themes of Advent are love, hope, peace, and joy. And today it's my privilege to be able to think about love. So what is love? What do we mean when we say love? I'm sure you'll know many people have different interpretations when they hear the word love. When you walk on the beach, sometimes you can see people writing messages in the sand. I love you, or Bob loves Sue, whatever it is. They're written on the beach. Could be romantic love, could be a couple's love, boyfriend or girlfriend, could be husband and wife. But then we get the word used in the context of food. Oh, I love pizza. I love sushi. I love, you put your favorite food there. And sport could be, I love sport. I love rugby. I love netball, or whatever your favorite sport is. You get the word love used there. And with our pets. Those of you who have pets will understand what it's like. You say, oh, yes, I love my dog. I love my cat. We have a rabbit and a chicken. We can say we love our pets. But is it all the same kind of love? Probably not. There are so many songs which talk about love. I wonder how many of these lines do you know from songs? Love me tender. Love me true. Second one. And I can't help falling in love with you. I will always love you. The bottom one, famous Beatles song, all you need is love, love, love. Love is all you need. Love you like a love song. In the movie Frozen, love is an, that's it, open door. People fall in love in mysterious ways. Do you know? You know I love you so. The last one from Lion King. Can you feel the love tonight? So lots of times love is spoken about. So what is love? Is it a feeling? Depends on whether we're up or down. Is it a choice? Is it affection? Is it devotion? Is it tenderness? Is it an affirmation of somebody? Is it concern? Is it an attraction? Is it loyalty? The answer, I guess, is it's probably a mixture of all of those things, some in greater quantities than others. But those things are certainly all involved. So let's hear some people answer that question. Why, what is love? I'll just switch to my video. Sorry, I'm getting the technical side right. Just switch to video. Okay, so what do a few people say about love?
What does the word love mean to you?
Wow. Ooh, love.
Love.
Love. Oh my goodness.
That means you love somebody.
I think love is... love is a way... Actually, I'm not really sure how to answer this question.
It's complicated. Love is a complicated thing.
Well, one of the definitions is that condition or state where the happiness of another is essential to one's own.
I think love is just a form of God.
Well, if you're talking family-wise, it means everything. But if you're talking like marriage, I mean, you can be single, and that's kind of what I want to do.
Wow, that's deep. Oh, you know, you're asking the wrong age group, because the first thing I want to do is say love means never having to say you're sorry.
Love means never having to say you're sorry. But I don't believe that at all, because I feel like you say you're sorry a lot.
Love to me is the greatest marketing campaign ever invented.
Love for me is being 100% vulnerable and all the way in, you know.
You can love yourself first. But once you learn how to love yourself, you can love anything in this world.
Someone that loves you because... you're you.
Love means accepting people the way they are.
It has to be a two-way street. It can't just be, you know, I'm accepting you, you gotta accept me too.
I think that it's being able to do something for somebody else that maybe you wouldn't normally do, or maybe you wouldn't want to do, but you do it anyway because it's something that they want to do. Even if you, like, hate it so much, you just would do anything because you want to be with them.
Love is a powerful thing.
And it makes you do the things you never thought you could do. And I think it makes life worth living.
Everything else becomes nothing, okay? All that matters is that the whole two hearts, you know, they expand to that infinity.
It means, in a funny way, freedom, because you're free to feel so many feelings so deeply.
Love to me is something you do on a day-to-day basis. And so you can hold affection and you can hold nostalgia, but I think love is active.
I always say I'd rather love someone than be in love with someone, because being in love with someone implies that you can fall out of it.
If you're really close to your family, I consider that love, right? So any other person, friend or family or love interest, if you see them as your family, then that's love.
Interesting concepts there, huh? All quite different answers. So what is love for us? I wonder if I ask you that question, what would you say about what is love? All right, let's go back to my PowerPoint. Okay. All right, so we've heard a few people answer the question, what is love? So no wonder it's confusing. If we ask people the same question and get so many different answers, we can end up being confused. How many sticks? Four? Three? Which way do I go? Confusion, huh? So actually, to get a real picture of what love is like, we need to get our info from the Bible. We need to see what the Bible says about love. Of course, there are many famous passages in the Bible about love. We could read 1 Corinthians 13. You know it well. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, and so on. We could talk about the fact that the Greek has four different words for love. There's storge, there's philia, there's eros, and there's agape. All different kinds of love, which are so much more expressive than the English one word for love. We could do that. But actually, I'm going to take a different approach today. I'm going to speak about love from a passage that Anna read for us before from John chapter 1. And you might feel it's a bit strange because the word love is actually not mentioned in these verses. But I hope you'll see the angle I'm taking as we go through this. So John chapter 1. I'm just going to literally go through the verses. So when we start off in John chapter 1, the first three words, in the beginning. Sound familiar? If we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just the same, in the beginning. Those verses in Genesis say, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and, you know the ending, there was light. It's just the same here, if you see the comparison. We've got the word here, word, with a capital W. That, of course, is talking about Jesus. So in the beginning, Jesus, the word, was there. The Word was with God. Jesus was with God, the Father, and the Word was God. It leaves us in absolutely no doubt at all that Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. That word is translated in the Greek, logos. So Jesus, the Word, is the logos. Logos is the one with speaking, who can speak to us, who can speak with creative power. And we can see the power here in Jesus. Just like in Genesis, when God spoke and all things were created, verse 3 here on the screen says, through him all things were made. God is the creator. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. God is the great creator of everything. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We go back to Genesis 1. There was darkness. There was light. Same picture here in John chapter 1. The light is stronger than the darkness. Again, so clear. But the light is always the winner. The darkness cannot overcome the light. Now, John, the author of this book, just gives a little introduction about himself. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Why did he come? Very important, verse 7. He, John, came as a witness. Witnesses, we know, are often used in court because they've seen something that's happened or they've heard something, and they're then able to testify about what they've seen. And John is saying that was his role too. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, concerning Jesus. Why? So that through him, through Jesus, all might believe. We too, friends, are witnesses to testify to Jesus, to the light. Why? Same way, so that through Jesus, through him, all might believe. God has placed us each in different circumstances. We've got different family members, different friends, different colleagues, and we can be that light to help people believe in God. Now, John just reminds us very clearly, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So John is the author. He's not the light, but he's talking about the light. So verse 9, Jesus is the true light that gives light again to who? The true light gives light to everyone. The gospel is for everyone. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a savior to save us from our sins. We all need the light to take away our darkness. So the gospel message is for everyone, gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made or created through him, the world did not recognize him. Isn't that sad? The creator came, but wasn't recognized by those he had created. He came to that which was his own. But sad again, his own did not receive him. Isn't this so often true? People don't receive God. People don't recognize God. Verse 12. I love this verse. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The gospel is given here. We need to receive Jesus. We need to believe in his name. Believe in his death on the cross to forgive us our sins. And then we can be born again. To become children of God. Born of God. And we know these are themes which John elaborates on further in the Gospel of John, especially in John chapter 3. But this is a promise. Anybody who receives Jesus and believes in him will become a child of God. Very clear there in Scripture. Even though we might reject him and not recognize him, if we do come to him, receive his forgiveness, we become children of God. And that's pretty mind-blowing. We become children of God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. This is, again, a pretty amazing, powerful verse. And this is the message of Advent, about the coming. The Word, as Jesus, remember, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I'll talk about that verse a little bit more later on. But isn't it amazing that Jesus became flesh and came down to this earth to dwell amongst us as truly God, but as truly man? And John could testify, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testified, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. That doesn't make sense, does it? Jesus came after John, but Jesus was before John. If we don't know our scriptures, that sounds really confusing. But of course, if we link it all together, Jesus was there and has always been there right at the beginning, way, way, way before John. And John recognized that. He knew that Jesus was from all eternity. Jesus is outside the realms of time. And he knows that Jesus is greater than him. Verse 16. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Now, grace is an undeserved gift. Grace in place of grace already given sounds a bit confusing, but just take it to mean lots of grace, abundant grace. The Old Testament, the law was given through Moses, and that was important for that time, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus came to bring us, grace and truth. People in the Old Testament, they longed to see God. They longed to experience God. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God. Again, very clear there, Jesus is God. and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. This is the gospel. Jesus came down from heaven to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins and rose again. And when we see Jesus, we know what God is like. There's no more doubt now. We can look at Jesus. Jesus has made God known to us in bodily form that we can understand and we can relate to. Isn't that amazing? So I'm going to leave us with just a few thoughts on this verse 14, because as I said before, it's such a mind-blowing verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, left the throne of heaven and came down to the earth to live among us. Amazing. Just stop and think. God became man. Thank you, Lord. I looked on the BBC just out of interest, and some of the theology in this statement on the screen is not quite right, but it was interesting just to see what the BBC said about the incarnation. The incarnation is the Christian belief that God took human form by becoming Jesus. I don't really agree with that, but of course, God didn't become Jesus. Jesus is already God. But you get the idea. Incarnation literally means to take on flesh, to become human. For Christians, the incarnation shows that Jesus was fully God and fully human. It's an essential part of belief in the Trinity, and in many ways it forms the basis of Christianity. Isn't it interesting that the BBC would put it like that? The BBC carries on. Through the incarnation of Jesus, humans were able to start repairing their damaged relationship with God. This relationship had been imperfect since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Through Jesus' incarnation, God began the process of salvation from sin, making it possible for humans to have a full relationship with him and go to heaven. Whoa, go BBC. Isn't that amazing? Right there, the gospel on the BBC website. Our relationship with God was damaged because of sin. But because Jesus came in the flesh and died on the cross, we can be saved from our sins. Have a relationship with God, become children of God, and go to heaven one day to be with him forever. We know John's gospel carries on with this, probably the most famous verse, written by the same person, John, that wrote John chapter 1 that we've just looked at. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus become incarnate? Why was he made flesh? Because of love. That's why I chose this passage today. Jesus came because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, of course, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This, my friends, is love. Jesus' love for us, God the Father's love for us, the Holy Spirit's love for us, so that we can be in relationship with him. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling. He lived in human form among us. I think that's just phenomenal. This is the Advent message of love, that Jesus came down. I hope you've enjoyed those verses. And I want us to finish with again to watch a video. This is one that I've actually shared before in my preaching. I think it was last year. But as I was preparing this, I just really felt it was right to show this video again. Maybe some of you didn't see it last time. and need to see it. Maybe some of you saw it last time and were encouraged by it, but forgotten and need to be reminded of it. This testimony sums up for me in a beautiful way how much God loves us. God sees whatever situation we're in. He hears our cries to him. And because he loves us, he responds to us. Once we've become his children, he is the perfect father that loves to respond to his children. So let's enjoy this video. I love the accent as well. It's a Northern Irish guy. Let's enjoy this testimony.
There was two nights particularly in the hospital when I honestly didn't know whether I would make it or not. I was under incredible pressure. Got drips up and all that they needed to do. But I remember those nights particularly, really crying out to the Lord and asking him to help me. And asking him to even supernaturally just do something that would encourage me and bring me through. And I remember the next day, I had a night from hell. And you got to understand this in the isolation ward. When no one else can get in. When no one else, no pastor, no friend, no family members, when no one else was allowed in, God sent a cleaner. And all of a sudden this cleaner had come in, and he was like a ray of sunshine. And he began to chat to me, and he asked me how I was. And he began to talk to me and say to me about hanging in there. And then we got chatting and we got talking, and he turned around and he said to me that he was a missionary in Nigeria for 14 years. And he began to tell me how God had saved many, many souls through his ministry. And just this last couple of years, he had found himself back home in Northern Ireland, and he's encouraging my heart. And he's telling me about souls and about the love of Jesus and the love of God. And I'm just sitting going, wow. When God needs to reach you, he knows exactly who is the right person. And in that moment of time, it was a cleaner. No one else could get in. God sent a cleaner. He left that day, and then he says this as he stood at the door. He says, son, can I pray for you? I says, absolutely. And as he began to pray at the door, he couldn't touch me. As he began to pray at the door, he began to ask God the Holy Ghost to visit me. He began to ask God to heal my body and touch my lungs. He stood at that doorway and he pleaded with God Almighty to spare my life and to continue to use me. And then he left. And what was incredible was that after he left, he periodically would walk past my window and give me a thumbs up. That night, I remember, started to turn around. Could it have been the prayer of a cleaner? That night, I began to desire a packet of prawn cocktail crisps, kiddo. And I asked the Lord, because no one could get to me. I says, Lord, is it possible that you could get me a packet of prawn cocktail crisps and a tin of Coke? Because that night I began to turn. The next morning, cleaner came. He brought in a bag. And in that bag, two oranges, a tin of Coke, and a packet of prawn cocktail crisps. Don't tell me that God doesn't know. God knows our every need. He knows every desire. And he just passed the bag through the door, he couldn't come in. He just says it's a gift from the Lord. I sat up. I had them crisps. God is a God, folks, who is personal. He knows the deepest desires of our hearts. He knows what we have need of. I want to encourage you out there today. God knows what you have need of. He knows your heart's desire. He is an incredible Savior. Never underestimate what God can do with you. Thank you to that cleaner. You know who you are. If you ever see this, thank you for hearing the voice of God and reaching someone like me. For you that are saved, keep your eyes upon Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And for you that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, lift up your eyes and look to heaven. And with a cry from your heart, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And go home justified, just as if you had never sinned. May God bless you. May you know the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. What a Savior. Amen.
Wow. I've listened to that testimony quite a few times, and it just touches me every time. I wrote down some of the words he says. Don't tell me that God doesn't know. He knows your heart's desire. God is personal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and may you know the love of Jesus. This shows me in such a practical way that God loves us and God knows what we need. I want to say to you, and to myself, to encourage us today. God loves us so much, and He knows what we need. Just call out to Him and ask Him to provide. I'm not talking about things that we don't really need, just things that we want, but things that we really need, plus extra blessings. But, you know, God loves us. And sometimes we're in that position where we're the one who needs help. Sometimes we might be in the position like the cleaner, where we need to give that help. So sometimes we receive the love of God through others. Sometimes we're the ones who give or share the love of God. So either way, the focus is on Jesus. And I hope that encourages our hearts today. The message of Advent love is all about Jesus coming down to earth in order to live a life and die on that cross and rise again so that we can be saved through Him. That's the message of love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let me pray now. We thank You, Lord, for Your precious word. Lord, today's chapter leaves us in no doubt that Jesus, You are God. That Jesus, You came down to earth in human form as a baby to grow up to be a man. Thank You that when we receive You, we believe in You. We can become Your children. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us a message to share with the world, Lord. A message of hope, a message of salvation, a message of Your incredible love for us. May we receive that love. May we too also share that love with others. In Your precious name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dave, for that amazing message. We're going to end now with a song, and then I'm going to end the meeting. Hope you all have a super day, and have some good lunch and some resting, and remember, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
By the grace of God, we will carry on.